Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you need to summarize your class notes or want to create a recipe with the ingredients you already have in your fridge, Meta AI has the answers. You can also research topics, explore interests, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.
You are the best version of you. You have the opportunity to help others as well. And when you open yourself up to the world again, it's like taking the blinders off. And those opportunities are right there. And you just need to seize them.
Hey, everyone. Jake and Gino here with some exciting news.
The Wheelbarrow Profits podcast is changing to the Jake and Gino Show.
You will still be able to find new episodes every Thursday on YouTube or your favorite podcast streaming service.
It's the same great show with the same great content.
And the same great hosts. You're not going to want to miss an episode.
So be sure to catch us on the next episode of the Jake and Gino Show.
Hello, everybody. It's Jake Stenzel, host of the Jake and Gino podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, father, six, best-selling author, the G-Daddy. Gino Barber, Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I am fired up today. You know why? I've been waiting for this podcast for the last 15 years of my life.
We've got I didn't know what a podcast was 15 years ago.
I didn't know what one was 5 years ago. We've got a prolific writer. We've got a financial educator. We've got an amazing woman. I mean, she is the role model that I think personifies to me what financial intelligence is. And she's done an amazing job over her career. This could go for 3 hours. I promise we'll keep it between 45 and an hour, but I'm super excited. Like I said, the last 15 years of my life, I've been waiting for this moment. Stenzi, how about you?
I'm always making it happen, big man. I think the boilerplate intro that the team wrote is not going to live up to that. I'm going to read it anyways, because that's what I'm here for. But Gino, well said. So for that boilerplate intro, today's guest is the co-author of 15 books in the Rich Dad series. She is internationally recognized as a premier expert for financial literacy and entrepreneurial success, as well as lifelong educational advocates. So without further ado, Sharon Leckler, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be with you guys, Jake and Gino, and it's my honor to be here and always delighted to share the stage with people that themselves are creating a big difference in the financial lives of others. So thank you.
Thank you very much for that. And it is our pleasure to have you. Just want to get to know you a little bit. Gino says I kind of jump and get right into it sometimes. So we're gonna unravel this a bit. Would love to hear about your career prior to the Rich Dad series.
Certainly. Thank you for that. Yes, I'll try and give you the Cliff Notes version because I've obviously been around a long time. I grew up in a very lower middle class home. We lived in a small house between my mother's beauty shop and my dad's used car lot. We had rental properties. At the age of 10, I had to go scrub out bathrooms between tenants. I swore I would never be an entrepreneur. My friends' parents were CEOs or military officers. I was kind of embarrassed by who we were and where we lived. And so I was going to become the first professional in our family because my parents, neither one had high school diplomas, but my dad ended up running the engineering school for the Navy. So he was a pretty smart cookie. But so I decided I was first generation to go to college and got my degree in accounting. I was one of the very first women in public accounting in the mid 70s. Thought I was hot stuff. Young, single, career woman in Atlanta, Georgia.
Living the dream.
That's right. It was absolutely fabulous. Till I was about 25, got my CPA certificate and realized I was working incredibly long hours for someone else. And I had a client invite me to leave public accounting and go with him. He was buying a company out of bankruptcy. I still remember going back to my condo, pros and cons on the old yellow legal pad, because back then we didn't have PCs or cell phones. And it didn't help me a bit. I could argue both sides. So my hand kind of took off across the top of the page and said, why not? And that is still my philosophy today. Why not do something different? Why not take the path less traveled? Why not solve a problem or serve a need? And so I answered that why not question by saying, I'm going to take a risk. And it was actually the worst business decision of my life still today, many years later. However, Napoleon Hill says, out of every adversity comes the seed of an equal or greater benefit. And had I not made that decision, I wouldn't have met a young lawyer named Michael Lechter. And next week, we'll be celebrating 41 years of marriage.
All right. So, congratulations.
Thank you. So it's living embodiment of the worst business decision gave me the best life decision. And so I will never regret making that decision. But it started my entrepreneurial journey. I left that company and then I started and sold a woman's magazine. I met the inventor of the first talking children's book, the kids' books that had the sound strips down the side, helped him grow that around the world. I learned so much about business, the power of association, because again, we're talking 1987. Kids didn't have, I know, dinosaur age, but kids didn't have technology. They didn't have electronics.
It was G.I. Joe's and it was a wonderful time. I remember it well. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. And you're too young to remember it, I think. But it was a great time. Kids didn't like to read, so I loved it. And we aligned with little companies like Disney, Warner Brothers, Sesame Street, Marvel Comics, allowed us to explode that company in a good way around the world. And we, our first year, we're so excited. We had $1 million in sales. Second year, $9 million. Third year, $23 million. And fourth year, on the way to 52, we sold that company.
Wow.
And that was in 1991. My husband and I moved to Arizona. Our oldest son went off to college in 92, left in September, came home in December in credit card debt. We didn't even know he had credit cards. He got to campus and there was a table, free pizza, free money, free t-shirt, free money. He had a really good time his first semester in college with all that free money. Yep. And then at Christmas, he realized it wasn't so free. He wanted us to bail him out. We wouldn't do it. Took him 7 years to get out of debt and to repair his credit. But that was December of 1992. And that's when I dedicated the rest of my career to financial literacy, financial education, entrepreneurship education. Started working with school systems, hence the white hair. Fast forward a few years in 1996, my husband called me one day. He's an intellectual property attorney. He says, this guy came into my office today, Bermuda shorts, flip-flops, Hawaiian shirt, with this idea for a board game. And I think you should meet him because it's consistent with what you're teaching. So I was at the first beta test of the board game Cash Flow with Robert Kiyosaki. I'm the only one that got out of the rat race, but I loved the concept. So I volunteered to help him commercialize the game because of my experience with the books. And we actually also had games. And during that process, he told me he wanted to charge $200 for this board game called Cash Flow.
And guess what? I paid for that $200, and that was the best $200 I ever spent.
We played it a few years ago, remember?
We still play with my kids. Yes, I still play with my kids. So it's an amazing board game. What an awesome job you guys did with that thing.
Good, good. I'm so glad. Well, I told him, I said, you know, we probably should write a brochure, or you should, to get people to understand why they're investing $200. And so that's when he asked me to become his partner. And that brochure we wrote was called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And
I've heard of that.
Yeah. No, we never expected it to take on a life of its own. So we wrote this book in 1997 to sell the board game. We thought our brand was Cash Flow. Okay, that was the name of our company, Cash Flow Technologies. But the world said, oh, no, your brand is Rich Dad. We never
Tell us about that a little too. I want to hear how you finally realized, because sometimes you force things that you think are, this is the brand, but you let the market decide. I'd love to hear a little more.
Oh, you have to get the information back, because we were a game company, but the world said, no, we want more than Rich Dad. So then we said, well, we'll write a trilogy, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Cash Flow Quadrant, Rich Dad's Guide to Investing. Nope, they still wanted more. So in our 10-year working relationships, we were partners. I ran the company as a CEO. And then we ended up writing 15 books together. And we grew the business around the world in well over 110 countries, 50 languages. And it just kind of took the world by storm. And then we had the opportunity to really be able to do something even bigger, because we were impacting the world. So we grew into coaching and seminars and all of those things. And it was absolutely the greatest time of my life to see the impact that we could make on other people's lives. And so in 2007, after 10 years, we were at the height of our success. And we were kind of no longer aligned. He wanted to go into franchising. I didn't agree with the model. So I made the decision to leave. And it was not really knowing what the next step was. And I thought Rich Dad was my legacy. So sometimes you have to close one door for other doors to open. And a few months later, I got a phone call from President Bush asking me to be on the very first President's Advisory Council for Financial Literacy, What an incredible honor. I served both Bush and Obama, for those people that are looking at both sides. But it was an incredible opportunity. And I wouldn't have had that call had I still been at Rich Dad. So I share that part of my story, Jake and Gino, because there are a lot of people watching and listening to this. Sometimes you have to close the door in your life for other doors of opportunity to open. And a few months later, I got the call from the Napoleon Hill Foundation. Now, I read Think and Grow Rich when I was 19, but we know what was happening to the economy in 2008, right? 2009. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to ask me to step in and help reinvigorate the teachings of Napoleon Hill during a time when most young people didn't even know who he was and never heard of Think and Grow Rich. So again, that was an incredible honor that I wouldn't have had. I wouldn't have had that phone call had I still been at Rich Dad. Mm-hmm. So again, I challenge everybody listening, is there a door in your life you need to close so new doors can open? So fast forward, I've written 4 books for the Napoleon Hill Foundation. I've built my own company, Pay Your Family First. And then my most recent book, Exit Rich, is with the was written in conjunction with Inc. magazine. So it kind of brings you to where I am today.
Wow, there's so many questions. But everybody, the most important thing that I took from that is Sharon really dug deep down and she came out with her values-based decision-making. Her, all of a sudden, her decisions, she's got core values. I don't even have to ask her what her core values are, but she dug down deep inside and said, this does not align with my core values. I need to stop this and I need to start something new. Sharon, I've heard a lot of great different slogans you've talked about. Have you ever thought about what your catalyzing statement is? Because for Jake and myself, for Jake and Gino, we create multifamily entrepreneurs. For us, that's our catalyzing statement. That's what we want. We're an education company, but we're also an implementation company. You know, our students have done over 20,000 units to date, over $1 billion in transactions. And in the beginning, I was struggling with, you know, how do you do it? Like, how do we convey our message? And it's not just buying real estate, not buying apartments, but you need to, you know, transform yourself into an entrepreneur because you're running a business and you're going to scale up this business and you have so many different units. You don't want to be the Sharon Lecter going out there and, you know, scrubbing toilets and doing all that work. You want to start out that place, but you really need to grow into an entrepreneur. So have you ever really thought about what your catalyzing statement is, maybe for your life and for your legacy and for your business?
Well, absolutely. I appreciate that, Gino, because every night growing up, my father would ask me, Sharon, have you added value to someone's life today? Mm. So my catalyzing statement every single day is, have I added value to someone's life today? Mm, and he's been gone for 15 years, but I still ask myself that every night. Now, I also say you are the CEO of your own life and getting people to take control. I am dedicated to helping people elevate their financial well-being. Period. 100%.
That is awesome. That's catalyzing, Jake. That's what we're talking about. Get right to the meat. My next question is, which is your favorite book? You've written so many books. And for everybody out there saying, oh, I want to write a book one day, can, should, would. I mean, she's written probably 20 books, it sounds like. I mean,
26, actually.
26. Okay, the math is wrong because I saw 15, 26 books. I mean, is there a favorite one that you've written?
I have several favorites because it depends on who you are. Mm-hmm. I love Think and Grow Rich for Women, which was an incredible opportunity for me to take the original Think and Grow Rich. And at the time it was written in 1937, there were no women in business. So I had the opportunity to look at those same steps to success through the eyes of successful women. And it was an incredible honor to be write that book. And I highlight over 300 women in the book. And it was impactful for me because it was, I wanted to get my message out. You know, I was tired of women complaining and criticizing the men that stood in their way. Mm-hmm. I said, stop it. That law of attraction, you attract negative results when you complain and criticizing. Let's celebrate the progress women have made. And let's celebrate the men that have helped us along our way, because that's going to bring more progress more quickly. So
the
I really
victim,
wanted
the victimhood
to
is not going to help, right?
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. I wanted to change the dialogue. Stop complaining, criticizing, and that B word, and start celebrating women that the progress we've made and you guys that help us, that highlight women. And that is so important. And then also this work-life balance concept. I can't stand it, but I say balance BS, and I don't say bad words. So that stands before Sharon, because balance belongs in the yoga studio or the dance studio. But in the real world, we have our work, our faith, our finances, our fitness, our family, all of those things need to work together. So I say, instead of looking for work-life balance, look for one big life. And those were the concepts behind writing Think and Grow Rich for Women. So that was really, you know, from that perspective. But my second favorite book, Gino, as it relates to helping people get out of their own way, is Outwitting the Devil. Mm-hmm. It's such an impactful book. I was so honored to bring it out. It was hidden away for 73 years. Napoleon Hill wrote it in 1938, because when he released the blockbuster Think and Grow Rich, he even knew then he was frustrated, because he said, even though people read what they're supposed to do to be successful, they won't do it. And he knew it was the fear that was holding them back. He actually added that last chapter, The Six Ghosts of Fear, in the book Think and Grow Rich. But in 1938, he actually wrote an entire manuscript called Outwitting the Devil. Mm-hmm. And the title scared his wife to death. She worked for the Presbyterian College. She was afraid she was going to be fired. So forbid it to be published. And it got locked away in a vault for 73 years. He died in 1970. She died in the 90s. Her sister died earlier in the early 2000s. And that's when the foundation got the book. And I still remember the call I got from Don Green asking me. He said, I have this manuscript. I don't know what to do with it. And so he sent it to me. I was only the fourth or fifth person to ever read it. I went over to San Diego, where I do most of my writing. And my daughter says, Mom, she's a minister. She says, I'm going to pray over you. I said, yeah, that's good. I don't need any more negativity. And in a few short hours, I just realized this book had to get out, because it really does go to the depth of how fear cripples us and keeps us from creating success. And particularly with everything that's happening in the world right now, that would be my favorite book for people to really understand what's holding you back.
Amen to that. What year did that come out?
2011. Yeah.
I'm looking at the book right now. Can you just dive into some of the parallels that you see from the 1930s to even today, what's going on with the pandemic? Because I always tell people, fear will hold you back. When I decided to get angry with my situation at the restaurant, I had a smaller restaurant. When I decided to get really angry at my situation, I read Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. I hated T. Harv Eker for about an hour. Then after I put the book down, I'm like, he's right. I mean, the fruits of your roots. I mean, everything I've done up till that point was my responsibility. Once I understood the responsibility and I started taking it and I wasn't afraid anymore, you still have that little fear coming in, but you know, go find an amazing partner like Jake, find an accountability person to help you out, to, you know, your family's great, but you need someone pushing you along the way to hold you accountable. And once you realize that fear is there, but that anger for a little while, that little catabolic energy that I needed. And once I got that anger, it made me start taking action. And then from the action and having the masterminds and the accountability groups, my level of energy raised from a catabolic state to that anabolic state, which was really, you know, empowering, uplifting. And all of a sudden the ideas started flowing and the fear started to subside. But you need to know your why. I think that's the most important.
Gino, I'm going to one up you. You're talking about the T. Harv Eker book. When that book came out, Outwitting the Devil, I was always a huge fan of Think and Grow Rich. And this is back in the days. I'd be driving around my car and we had our first deal. Okay. It was a 25 unit apartment complex and I had the CDs. Okay. It's not talking like Audible and all this stuff. Now, I remember having the CDs and it was a very challenging time because we only had 25 units at the time. And we were figuring it out as we went. There was people on there that were doing drugs. They weren't paying. The original owners only accepted cash. I mean, this was a challenging property. We jumped in both feet, had no clue what we were doing. That book helped me overcome that experience in my life, because I'm like, what the hell did we just get ourselves into? Yeah, the first day was great when they gave us the pile of money that smelled like cigarettes and it was all cash. And then we had to go to work after that. And then people slowly stopped paying. So I just wanted, you know, say thank you over this podcast, because to your point about helping others, that book positively impacted my life at a time of uncertainty when we could have folded and quit and said, this is too hard. So thank you, Sharon.
Thank you both. That means the world to me. And I think both of you just hit on something that I talk about. Fear does one of two things. It paralyzes you or motivates you. And most of us are paralyzed by fear. We want to get in, we want to turn off the lights, get under the covers and hide. Or you can take that fear and say, I'm going to turn this into anger sometimes, but into action, to do something about it, to turn it into energy, to create and get out of the fear. And so most of us are paralyzed and we have to learn how to turn it into that energy so that we can take action, because it does give you that motivation to create something better. And both of you just talked about the fact that you use that fear to turn into action to create something better.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Oh, there's so many questions. Let's talk with children. One of the biggest things that I teach my children about finances when they're early on is that instant gratification. And that's really killing the world right now. And I can give you a quick story. My son is 16 years old and he wants to buy an amplifier. And I'm like, Mike, you don't need another $1,500 amp. You've got the money, but I don't want you spending 30% of your net worth on this amp. Better yet, invest in one of our deals. So I let him invest in one of our deals, took his $5,000 out of the bank. He saw it. It was really painful. We didn't get paid for the first 12, 13 months, but then all of a sudden we refied part of the deal and he got all his money back and then some. And now the conversation is, Dad, when you get the next deal, can I owner finance number one? I'm like, you're not going to delude me, Mike. I'm not going to let you do that. But what about the owner draws number two? What about the refi number three? And Dad, what about the market rents? Are these rents going to market as quickly? And what's going on with the rehab proceeds? So from one conversation about instant gratification saying, wait, I promise you, if you put that away, it may take you 2 years, it may take you 3 years, but your 5K just turned into 80K. And that is like one of the best lessons I can teach my children, that instant gratification. Do you have any other tips for parents?
I love that. I love that, you know, because what you did was open his eyes to the vocabulary. That's mm-hmm. They don't learn the vocabulary of money and they don't understand the amplification of money. And so you gave them an opportunity, and financial education is the gift of a lifetime. And I hear a lot of people, well, I don't want to teach my kids about money too young because they're going to be greedy. I go, at what age do you think a kid knows the difference between a $1 bill and a $20 bill? What do you guys think?
I was greedy at four.
Yeah. Three or four.
My great grandmother. No, I had pumpkins for my grandfather. They had a little pumpkin patch and we were selling them on the back of my grandmother's porch. And I was probably about 4 years old. My great grandmother came over to buy one. She gave me the money and I kept the pumpkin. So, I mean, this happens at an early age. Okay. Now I've evolved, folks. It's not that bad anymore, but that was
exactly.
At four.
I have that at four. I have a four-year-old granddaughter, and believe me, she knows the difference between a $20 bill and a $1 bill. So I say they know the difference of the spending power. Mm-hmm. They need to understand the difference in the earning power. Mm-hmm. And so you, exposing them to the world of money, vocabulary of money is very, very important. And as it relates to that instant gratification, I tell people, when we grew up, and what we are doing with our children still, we say things like we can't afford it. Money doesn't mm-hmm. grow on trees. Save for a rainy day. Bench your pennies. All of those things are negative. So we grow up money negative, money negative, money negative. No wonder we end up with this philosophy of scarcity mindset mm-hmm. because that's in our subconscious and we have to break that. And so as you're raising your children, when Mike wants a new amplifier and say, you can't afford it. Yeah, that's what we want to say. But instead, choose your words carefully and say, how can you afford it? Because that opens our mind to the entrepreneurial spirit. Mm-hmm. And now he's found a way by investing in your real estate property. He's got now up to 80, his 5K turns into 80K. So now he can actually buy what he wants from the additional income stream. Mm-hmm. And that's an important lesson for them, because what happens is they go from wanting to setting a goal. You say, how can you afford it? And believe me, our kids get very creative on how mm-hmm. they're going to raise money mm-hmm. and they raise it, let them celebrate raising it, let them get what they want. And they, in front of you, you see their self-confidence raise because they set a goal, achieved it, and you're celebrating with them. Mm-hmm. And you triggered with a question, how can you afford it? Their entrepreneurial spirit.
I love that. And the funny thing is that he's in our next deal and he's killing me because now he wants to continue to place capital in deals. So it's not even, he doesn't even want the amp anymore so much. That's not even the issue anymore because I want to teach my
he
kids.
He just wants
the difference
to dilute his dad's share.
I want to teach them the difference between a need and a want. That's very important. And the fact that he knows seller financing at the age of 19, most adults will never even understand that word. So vocabulary is important. Sure. And I think there's two other things that I'd like to mention. All the parents out there, you need to be a role model for your children. If you're telling them not to buy stuff on credit cards and not to rack up debt and you're doing it, guess what? They see the cue. They're going to follow what you're doing subconsciously. And the second thing is, do not punish savings. If your children gets $100 for their birthday, take maybe 20 and say, we're going to save 20. What do you want to do with the remainder of your money? I remember early on, I'm a prolific saver. My mom, it just worked for me. You take the money away. And then all of a sudden the kids are like, well, I'm getting punished for saving. So as they get older, they're just thinking processes. Mom's going to take money away from me. Your dad's going to take money away from me. I better just blow it away. So those are very important. You want to teach your kids to save money to buy an asset. I mean, when they're younger, maybe not as easy to do, but as they get older and become teenagers and young adults, that's a powerful thing, Sharon. What do you think about that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, my favorite word on earth, which we've been on this for a few minutes and I haven't even used it yet, asset. My favorite word on earth is asset. And assets are sexy. The older you become, the sexier they become. And it's very important to teach, because our school teaches us to change exchange time for money. And that's the essence of why people are not financially stable. They focus on exchanging hours for money. Instead, invest your time in buying, building, and creating income-producing assets, because those assets become economic engines for you, like a multi-housing facility. Mm-hmm. That becomes an asset that generates income for you, that you can then take that income and reinvest in yet another asset. That's where financial independence comes from. You are financially free when the income from your assets exceeds your monthly expenses. That's where we should be focusing. And that's what school does not teach us. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important to give children the opportunity to see what's possible, mm-hmm. so that they can start thinking in the term of assets, not income. Mm-hmm. Now, real estate agents, too many of them, they live from commission to commission.
Oh, so
they
true.
They don't build their own personal wealth. That's why my husband and I just recently got involved with eXp Realty, not to become real estate agents ourselves, but to help people that we teach understand that it has a formula that helps you build personal wealth. And too many real estate agents, insurance agents, they literally live commission to commission.
Living for the next rip, right?
Yep.
Do you mind if I give you a couple real quotes, quick quotes? The first one, Sharon, would be transactions pay the bills. Equity makes you rich. And that's the bottom line. You need the transactions for your monthly nut, but take a little bit of money from each transaction and start putting it on the equity side of the equation. And the other one, when I was back in 2007, 2008, the question, it might have been from one of your books, is your money working hard for you, or are you working hard for your money? That one really, really hit me one day, saying, you know, the people out there during the Great Recession, there's still people making millions and millions of dollars. How are they doing it? And that question set me on the path to now, you know, we have over 30 streams of income, Jake and myself. I had 3 streams of revenue back in 2013. And it's built up that. And that question has always been on top of mind for me. How can I make my money work harder for me? Get your earned income and start turning it over into assets. And I think that if we can teach our children to do that, that is so empowering.
It's so true. You know, it's not how, I always say, it's not what you do for your paycheck. It's what you do with your paycheck.
Ah, I love that.
It determines your future. And you need to learn not just how to make money, but mm-hmm. how to keep it, how to mm-hmm. invest it, how to employ mm-hmm. it so that it can make money for you.
Mm-hmm. You need them reproducing like Gino and his 6 kids.
Yeah.
You know, get a lot of questions on that one, but I wish I had more, but you know, it is what it is. Sharon, before we go to the short answers, can you go over your success formula and where the listeners can get that free ebook about it? Because I downloaded it yesterday. It's a fantastic resource.
Absolutely. My first book with the Napoleon Hill Foundation was 3 Feet from Gold. Mm. And
I love that.
And in it, thank you. We talked to a bunch of people who made it through hard times, because a lot of times you find out your strength during the difficult times. And through it, we found this commonality and we developed the personal success equation. And it starts with a P plus T, which is passion and talent. And that's all about you. You know, what do you care about? What's your why? Talent, what's your education? What's your experience? How you combine that? For me, my passion came from anger that we weren't teaching people about money in school. My talent was I 35 years as a CPA and lots of publishing experience, so I could combine that. And most of us stop there thinking we have to build everything on our own. But true success comes from taking your passion or talent, combining with the times A, which is the power of association. Who's on your team? Do you have a mentor? Do you have people who are strong where you are weak? Do you surround yourself with people who want you to succeed? Power of association by far is the strongest element of success. And then times A, taking action. How many times do we know what we're supposed to do? We just don't do it. So passion and talent, association, action, and then plus F for faith. Faith in yourself, faith in what you're doing, faith that it's needed or necessary, and faith that you succeed. The most successful businesses do one of two things: solve a problem or serve a need. And when you have a down day, remind yourself what problem you're solving, what need you're serving, and it gives you that energy to start over again. Mm-hmm. And so when I start mentoring someone, I go through that formula with them, and it's usually the power of association and their faith in themselves that need the most work. and they go hand in hand. I'm sure that when you guys touch base, if one of you is having a bad day, the other one kicks you in the face and gets you out of it. It's all about power of association, and having the right people around you helps you build your self-confidence.
Where can we get the ebook?
The Personal Success Equation is, there is a workbook on that at personalsuccessequation.com. And it's described in the book, 3 Feet from Gold.
Love that. And that's the reason why, Sharon, I think Jake and I created the Jake and Gino community, that power of proximity and having role models and having mentors and having the students with that success. You want to have that proximity, because when you're a W-2 employee, you're stuck in the rat race. Well, you're stuck in the rat race with other W-2 employees who are the majority of the part. They're happy with their jobs. They're happy with their situation. But the people who join our community, they're looking for more. They want that association. And, you know, with that association comes the ability to take that action. And then obviously having faith with people that are around you, you see them doing it, it gives you the faith and the power to do it yourself.
I love that.
All right, gang, let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary 3-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high-pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now. All right, we're back. Want to dive back into a little bit about the Rich Dad book. Just curious. So you had the board game. You realized it wasn't cash flow. It was more this Rich Dad slogan. How did you get that first book to catch fire from a marketing perspective? So you had the board game, and then all of a sudden the book takes off, and you didn't realize that was the actual asset. Can you unpack that a little bit more for us?
Yeah, the book is, the Rich Dad Poor Dad was a true viral marketing success before the internet, Amazon. Amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
We were out there looking at ways to promote the book. And I tell you a little background story. We sent 10 copies to a friend who had a car wash in Austin, Texas. And a guy came and he picked up a book, and we literally launched the book with 1,000 copies in April of 1997. And so this was probably June. I get a phone call. Guy says, I just read Rich Dad Poor Dad. Now, we had this launch party at my home, and we gave out books of the 1,000 that we printed. I probably still had 950, right? Uh-huh. And this guy calls me, says, I read this book, Rich Dad Poor Dad. I said, you did? Like, what? And he told me he bought it at this car wash, which of course was owned by a friend, and he wouldn't even buy the books from us. It was on consignment. And he said, how many do you have? And I go, oh, about 980, I don't know, 950. He says, I'll take them all. And he actually was a diamond in the Amway business. And he sent the book to somebody high up in Amway, and we became the darling of the Amway organization. In addition, every other network marketing company, because the book was not written to highlight network marketing, but it certainly supports the model of building that downward stream of passive income. And so that helped us get internationally very quickly. But we also, it's, you know, you can write the best book, you can be the best speaker, but you have to have the network and the platform to build a business. And so we work 24/7. I understood how to get into every bookstore in America where somebody would call and hear us on the radio and want the book. Well, we can't stash them in all the stores, but I had a system that I found where the store owner could pull it up on a CD that they got every month, CD mailed and say, oh, this book is from Tech Press, my company. My husband and I owned a publishing company. And literally I'd get up in the morning and I have a stack of faxes with individual orders for books. We launched the company off my dining room table, and I would have books just packaged every single day that I'd be carrying to the post office, the local post office. And today they said, Sharon, we can't handle your quantity. So all of that's the beginning story of Rich Dad, but it was through onesie twosie orders. We sold 1 million books in our first couple of years and made it. I made it to the New York Times, Wall Street Journal before we had a major publisher. So it was all grit and all action taking, making sure we were everywhere we could be from a promotion. We were on radio, TV, and again, aligning with organizations where our message was supportive of them.
That's beautiful. And so many people out there need to humble themselves. They think that they just start this little business and they're too good to package the book, or they're too good to take it to the post office because they got to systematize and they have to get their itis. It's just things that we see. And it's like, look, sometimes you got to bootstrap. Systems are great. You want to systematize your business and bring in vendors. But sometimes in the beginning, you have it on the kitchen table. I remember, you know, early on with Gino here, we had our first, you know, complex. We didn't know what the hell we were doing from a bookkeeping perspective, but we had the stupid receipts and everything on the box. I'm sending him the copies of it. And that's how it goes sometimes. And that's stuff you'll never forget either. So that's a fantastic story.
Joseph, where were you yesterday, though? Where were you out there yesterday? I mean, you're still doing things every day that the average entrepreneur.
Okay, so here's the real of it, all right? So we have a little over 50 employees, and we're four short right now from a maintenance perspective, okay? But what's happening is someone's kid's going to school and now there's a COVID protocol, or someone ran into this person. So now that's basically compounding, and it's at any given moment we're drastically short. So we're trying to find ways to supplement. And I got pissed yesterday because we have a standard that we're not willing to let slip below. And we had this huge, you know, all the big floods and the rains that came through, knocked over this huge tree. I mean, this thing was dense and about, I don't know, it had to be about 75 feet long. I'm a little bit of a hick. I took both my chainsaws. I made sure the gas was there. I got on with Gino, put him in the back of the truck, and I went down there. And within 2 hours, man, I'm telling you, like, if I wasn't in this business, I definitely should be working for a tree company, because I cut the living bleep out of that in 2 hours flat. And I was out. I got my Chick-fil-A sandwich and went home and did a podcast with Gino. Now I'm getting fired up. Let's go. All right. That's how it's done.
It's called Whatever It Takes.
No, we had a new move whatever in. It takes. We had a new move in, you know, coming that day. And I was like, I'm not going to let us look like crap. And that's what it came down to. So, yeah. Gina,
well,
that's
the sign of a great leader. Never, you know, you don't ever ask anybody to do anything you're not willing to do yourself. Mm-hmm. And you do whatever it takes. You know, and today that's, you know, it's all about shipping. If you need to ship something, I'm all about systems, is what I teach.
Yes.
Okay. But you
Same
also have systems that you need to get started.
Yep.
And systems to get to the next level, then systems to get to the next level. Just like a mentor that got you to where you are today may not be the right mentor to get you to where you deserve to be. Mm-hmm. It's important to understand incremental growth.
Amen
so
that
you to can that. Prepare yourself for explosive growth. So
let's piggyback off that. Any tips for someone starting to scale? Any ways or you know, tips that you'd give someone for scaling their business?
Well, the first one is have a good mentor. I mean, a recent survey, 77% of business owners admitted mentors are important, but only 37% of them actually had them.
Yeah.
And so it's really important. Why go it alone? You want to surround yourself with people who've been
shorten
where you
that learning curve.
Yeah. It shortens the learning curve. It steers you around pitfalls, and they expose you to their network. So that power of association is really open up for you. And so understanding when you continue trying to do everything yourself is hard to scale. So you have to start saying, where do I excel? And where do I need somebody else? Hire people that are strong where you are weak, and really analyze on a quarterly basis how you're spending your time. Mm-hmm. And then look at it. What am I really good at? What do I really love to do? What's making me money? And analyze that objectively to say, okay, what do I need to get off my plate?
That's why I can't be cutting trees, because I'm good at it. All right. I enjoy it, but it ain't making me money.
That's right. That's right. But you know, sometimes all hands on deck, and you got to do what needs to get done.
I can pack a mean book, Jake. You know what I'm saying? And I got some, you know, but, and bookkeeping. I'm a pretty good bookkeeper, but shouldn't be doing $25 an hour work. That's all we're saying, folks.
Well, I can tell you, I'm a really good book packer and a really good bookkeeper 15 years ago. Today, I wouldn't even know how to begin. You know, it's like, help, help.
What about a habit for success? Something that you do on a frequent basis that would benefit the folks out there?
Well, I love that question because I have a podcast, which I'd love to have both of you on as well. That's always my question at the end for our private Facebook group, the Play Big Movement group. And that is what daily habits you have for success. So thanks for asking me. Every morning I get up first thing in the morning and I review what problem am I solving? What need am I serving? And my husband and I get up and exercise and walk, and we're very good about our nutrition. I also analyze what I need to accomplish that day, what's urgent. I have a client now that I love her term. She says, addicted to urgent. I tend to be that way. So it's like stepping back and saying what needs to get done. And then I prioritize how I spend my time. I'm much more greedy about having personal time than I used to be. And it's something that is really important for me to have that time to imagine, that time to think and to progress, and time for my family, my grandkids. And then I also, every night before I go to bed, I ask myself, have I added value to someone's life today? And everything I do before I got on this interview with you, but you may not know, 8.5 years ago, I lost my youngest son, and we're not supposed to outlive our children. And so it redefines life for you. Mm-hmm. Things that used to worry me and upset me, no, it pales in comparison. And so a friend of mine sent me a gift that called the book, The Prayer of Jabez, and it's a prayer in the Old Testament. And I say that before every interview, every activity, every single day. And it's about literally giving it up to God. So the first line is, please bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory, meaning let me have a larger impact than I can imagine. Let your hand be with me, which means deliver me the message you want me to share, that I may not cause pain or be harmed. And so that four-line prayer in the middle of the Old Testament is something that helped me get through it, because everybody watching and listening has probably had something that stopped you in your tracks, like my loss of my son. My world went into a land of neutral and numbness for several years. In fact, I almost thought about retiring. And I got a lot of pushback from family and friends, and even heard my son in my ear say, get over it, Mom, there's more for you to do. And as I look at what's happening in the world today, everybody watching.
You are so needed in this world. I'm sorry to cut you off, but you are so needed. Your message and your story and your education is so needed. So don't ever think about retiring. That word should not be in your vocabulary.
Thank you. But you know, everybody, we've had something that stopped you in your tracks. It could have been a death, like for me, an illness, a financial setback. You know, it could be a divorce, whatever it is, you're still here. You're still here for a reason, and you've survived. And what you've been through and what you've learned, you can help others going through the same thing. So recognize the fact that you have become, you are the best version of you, bumps and bruises along the way, but you have the opportunity to help others as well. And that's the message that I want people to know, is that we're human and we have issues. And think about the prayer of Jabez in your own life and allow yourself to be open to the possibilities. Because when I made myself decide to play big again, because I'd played big all my life and then played really small after losing my son. And when I made the decision not to retire, to get back out there, all kinds of opportunities came to me, but they were there before. I just couldn't see them. Because when you're fearful or sad, you look down. Mm-hmm. It's like you have on blinders. And when you open yourself up to the world again, it's like taking the blinders off. And those opportunities are right there. And you just need to seize them.
Sharon, I challenge you on this now. We have a very similar strategy. Jake knows this. I've been doing opera for the last couple of months. The kids are really singing. So before my podcast, I sing the Salve Regina in Latin. Salve Regina, Mater Misericordiae, Vita Dulcedo, et Spes Nostra Salve. I can keep going on. But what that does to me, I try to align myself with God and I try to say to myself, I'm not the hero of this podcast. I'm supposed to be the guide. It's not about Jake and Gino, but it's about the value that we can deliver through our guests and through their message. And hopefully we can make it playful. But it's a great way to remind ourselves that we're not that important and we shouldn't be that serious to the world. And if you can align yourself that way and you can think of yourself that way, you'll have a lot more fun. You'll probably impact a lot more people.
Absolutely. And I think it's, you know, sometimes we take ourselves too seriously, mm-hmm. but at the same time, sometimes we don't allow ourselves to enjoy life and mm-hmm. to be open to the possibilities. And you're either one or the other. So mm-hmm. think about it and make sure you allow yourself to have the fullness of life, one big life, mm-hmm. Your family, your faith. And that's something that I'm dedicated to helping people create the next best chapter of their life and to place themselves in the position of greatest potential. And you do that by listening to podcasts like yours.
All right. I have one more question. And I think it's a good bow tie because the whole thing's about sharing, adding value to other folks' lives. Okay. And we know about all your 20 books and we touched on Napoleon Hill. This is going to be a tough one. All right. So give us a book, maybe a little off the grid that's added value to your life outside the ones that we've mentioned today.
Sure. Well, other than Think and Grow Rich.
He's like, that's easy. I got it.
Yeah, it's easy. Yeah. Think and Grow Rich obviously has a huge impact on me. I read it when I was 19, but to your specific question, there's a little book called The Ultimate Gift by Jim Stovall. And it talks about it's a parable about a man who died.
Ooh, I love parables.
Yeah, a man who died and he had all his family members. He had no children. I mean, all his family members were around a table and the attorney is reading, had this series of videos. And each person gets a piece of companies or something. And it's all like, if you contest this, you lose it. But he goes through this challenge. It ends up with this young teenage boy who's a nephew or a great nephew. He's got his legs up on the table, totally showing no respect. And he takes this young man through a journey over a year of you need to go find the gift of forgiveness. You need to go find the gift of love. You need to go find the gift of charity. So take the gift of a friend. And each of one of those months, he goes to find this element. And it shows the transition in this young man's personality to the point of being greedy, arrogant, to being thankful, grateful, and giving. And it's an incredible book. And Jim Stovall is an incredible man. So I think that book should be required reading for every teenager. So,
and you're a gem. I truly, truly enjoyed this day. You know, Gino, your work's cut out for you right now. If you can recap this.
I could recap, it's taking an hour to recap Sharon's life. But thinking about being a young girl between a beauty shop and a used car lot, right? The first woman in her home, in her family to go to college, which is amazing. In the mid 70s, being an accountant, being a CPA, thinking that she is at the pinnacle. And I can't believe she's a CPA because all you CPAs out there, I love you, but you got nothing on personality to Sharon. There's like,
so true.
And the other part is entrepreneur and CPA are repelling. I mean, that's just the complete opposite. And for her to figure out in the 70s that that's not the pinnacle, that's just the beginning of her journey. And what I love about her story is one door opens, you walk right through that door, and then all of a sudden the door slams in your face and you go, okay, I've got to go to another door. And having that realization and being super successful through the 90s and the 2000s, and then having the loss of her son, which puts a damper on it. And all of a sudden things come to reality where you see what's important in life. And that still didn't hold her back because she's got a lot more to go because we need women, but more importantly, we need financial educators out there who can teach us the truth about financial intelligence. And her catalyzing statement, I'll end it off with this, Jake, is how have I added value today?
I love that.
If we can all ask that question and we can have a great answer to that question, then we're living a great life and we're living our soul purpose. That's what life is all about, to find out what our soul purpose is. And I think Sharon's soul purpose is to be here to help others to achieve financial freedom and to get out of the bond of debt and the bond of slavery and to teach our kids the importance of a financial education.
Well said, sir. Well wow. done, Gino.
Who are you talking about?
Wasn't talking about me. I was talking about the one and only Sharon Lecter. I mean, listen, I don't even know what to say. I'm really honored. Like I said, it's been 15 years in the making for me. And sometimes when you just do a show, you just connect with somebody. I've known you for 15 years. You've known me for 15 minutes. I've truly enjoyed the path that I've had with you. I've read every single one of your books. If I turn my bookshelf, I've got 500 books, probably 26 of them that you've written. They're all on that bookshelf. So I've had an amazing journey with you. And I want to personally thank you for helping me out, understanding how to teach financial education, how to empower my children and the next generation of kids.
Well, thank you so much, Gino, Jake. I'm just so honored. This has been the most fun I've had in an interview in quite a while. So you guys are fantastic. Thank you for all that you're doing. And I know that you're creating incredible value and you're adding value in people's lives every single day as well. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you want to design a marathon training program or you're curious what planets are visible in tonight's sky, Meta AI has the answers. It can also summarize your class notes, visualize your ideas, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.